You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello and welcome to the Fangirls Podcast, a place for fun, fandoms, friendship, and most importantly, fangirling. I'm Julie, and today we're chatting all about an amazing documentary that focuses on the life of Michael J. Fox. That's right, folks, aka Marty McFly. And who better to fangirl with us today than our fellow Back to the Future fan, Miss China. Welcome back, friend.
Hello, I'm here.
All right, friends. This was an amazing documentary. It was raw. It was inspiring. It checked all the boxes for documentaries that are on my radar, documentaries I want to watch, documentaries I want to see nominated. What were your initial thoughts?
I think I started crying before the actual title scene happened. And I have such a love for Back to the Future, and just his story is so heartbreaking, but also so powerful because he doesn't let it affect him as a person.
Right.
Literally the whole opening sequence, I'm like, don't cry, don't do it. But it was amazing. I definitely think it should win awards. I definitely think it will make his book sell like crazy, even though it came out like 3 years ago. I definitely think the editors should win every single award, because that was like my biggest take. I was texting people who I know went to film school with me and are editors, being like, yo, you have to see this. This is insane what they do with this film. Insane. Highly recommend. 10 out of 10. 5 stars. Go watch it now.
There were some heartbreaking moments. There were some sad moments. There were some very raw moments. But the whole story in general was inspiring. So for those of you who don't know, the documentary is called Still, and it's on Apple TV. It is worth seeing. Are you ready for some tea?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it. Pour the tea.
All right. This is the part of the show where we spill the tea. This means spoilers. So if you have not watched the Michael J. Fox documentary, Still, we are about to spoil it for you. For those of you who don't know, Michael J. Fox was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease back in the early 90s. And he did not come out to the public about this disease till like 97.
It happened at the height of his career.
Right.
And then he kept it a secret as much as he possibly could until he couldn't anymore. And then he went public with it. And even when he went public with it, I don't think the whole gravity of what it meant, like the way they explained in the documentary, the gravity of what it meant and what was going to mean for his career and his life wasn't really hitting the public until it became like visually apparent that something was wrong.
I didn't know what Parkinson's disease was till he came out with it, till he told his story in all the interviews about it. And I remember my dad telling me this was a big deal because he looked fine during that interview. He carried himself beautifully. Like, I'm watching it with him, and he was just trying to physically explain what it does to the body. And at 10, I am not Dr. Julie Hauser.
Yeah. Right.
And could not fully comprehend the disease in itself. And so for those of you who don't know, Parkinson's disease is a disorder of the central nervous system that affects movement, often including tremors.
Yeah. And I think what was a big part of him coming out and people not understanding was because he was so young.
Right.
And like, people are used to this diagnosis coming for people who are of an older age. Mm-hmm. And he was like in his 20s, like late 20s or something, right?
Right.
And again, at the height of his career, he was doing all these amazing things. He hid it for so long, so no one really understood. Like, but yeah, for them to see someone so young be diagnosed with something, it just kind of shocked everyone and everything. And so I fell in love with the Back to the Future series. It's pretty young, right? But I didn't have a concept of like he was sick or whatever, because he wasn't during the films. I'm purely Back to the Future, like Marty McFly. That's my homie. Like, I'm about it, right?
Right.
When I was in college, we had this like program that was like script to screen. So they would bring in people from different movies, and they would like have the script, and it was like the director and the writers, and they would read the script, and we'd watch the movie and all this stuff. So we did this, and as like a Back to the Future nerd, obviously I was going. And okay. we dressed up. We like different eras of, you know, the different Back to the Future movies and all this stuff or whatever. DeLorean was parked outside. Christopher Lloyd, who lives in the Santa Barbara area, surprised us and showed up like reading some of the lines, some of the famous lines on stage with the rest of the writers and like fangirled out hard, right? Christopher Lloyd actually stayed to watch the movie with us. And he was like 8 seats away from me reciting. He was reciting his lines in the aisles, it was the most fangirl moment of my life. The love that I have for Back to the Future is hardcore. And it started at a younger age. And at that point, I didn't know that there was any kind of diagnosis about Michael J. Fox. I didn't know anything, right? I was too young. I mean, I was like maybe 7, okay, 8 when that had happened. And what I knew about him was just based on that movie. When this documentary was announced, I literally texted another friend of mine who was at that event with me, who we both have a huge love. She was dressed up as Marty McFly at that event. She was Marty McFly. I was like in a 1980s like prom vibe. And then someone else was like in like the 1885 Western theme. Like our friend group went all out and we won the prizes, which were like Blu-ray discs of the Back to the Future movies or whatever. Yeah. So we're such nerds. Such nerds so hard. But yeah, so like everything I knew was part of those movies. And so when this documentary was announced, I was like, I have to go see this. Mm-hmm. I was about to fly to Park City, Utah to go see it premiere at Sundance. Like that's how serious I was. That's how serious I was. Like I love Back to the Future and everyone involved. Like Christopher Lloyd, when he came out in The Mandalorian, girl, I yelled at the screen. Like I am such a fan. I'm such a fan. So yeah, when this movie came out, I was dead serious. I was like, I need to see it now. Me going to Sundance didn't work out very well. I can't drive in the snow. Very dangerous for me. But when it came to Apple Plus, I was like, I gotta see it. I don't care. We're taking a whole movie night. It's going on.
What caught you in your feels? Because there were a lot of feelings.
A lot of feelings. The two that got me were him and his dad and him and his wife. I think a lot of creative people can relate to, like, if your parent isn't also a creative person, it is hard to explain that world to them. I definitely was a film major. Me explaining it to my parents who came from another country who didn't really understand that world, they don't really understand that world. I'm very fortunate to have parents who were like, we don't get it, but just tell me where you need me to be and what to do, and I'm gonna do it. I'm very fortunate to have that. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of creative people I know that don't have that. So when he was talking about his dad not really understanding or not really sure whether or not his family was gonna feel some type of way about it, I'm like, damn. I was expecting this to go on a route of being like, oh man, did your family not support you? Like, damn. Mm-hmm. But then when his dad was like, okay, get in the car, we're going to Hollywood. And what did he say? Like, I love this line. I like wrote it down in like my little quote book. It was like, well, if you're gonna be a lumberjack, you might as well be in the forest.
Yes.
I was like, damn, dad, like that's a line. That's a line. So he drove him out to Hollywood. He paid for everything on his credit card. And the thing is, like, he drove him to every audition and every meeting, but he didn't go in with him. He was like, this is your thing. You're going to do it on your own. And I love that. I used to work for the theater and dance department. I know a lot of dance moms.
Right.
I know a lot of dance moms, a lot of dance parents. And they're very in the moment right there with their kid all the time. For him to have that freedom and trust him in that moment, I loved it. I love to see it. I just love that parent dynamic.
No, I'm right there with you. The love story with his wife.
Oh, man.
Was not mentally prepared for that one. I knew that they met on the show that they did together, but the backstory of how she put him in his place,
which I loved,
but also how he just fell for her harder. Seeing them present day, just her standing by his side at his doctor's appointments, everything. I'm like, oh, the epitome of what love should be.
Right.
And they've made it last. They've, you know, they've obviously had their hurdles and whatnot through their lifetime, but I was just so moved. I was like, oh, this is the part. This is the part where I cry. Okay. I thought it was going to be something Parkinson's related. No, it's their love story.
Yeah. And like the thing with their marriage, which, you know, again, I didn't know the timeline of anything. Mm-hmm. So like, he got his diagnosis like 3 years into their marriage. When he talks about how he got the diagnosis and then went and told Tracy about it, and her response was just in sickness and in health.
Right.
Girl, I was like, oh my God.
Yep.
Like, that's That's the only thing she said was in sickness and in health. Yep, that's the woman. That's a wife.
Yep.
That's a wife. Go ahead, girl. Go ahead.
What caught you off guard?
So as like a Back to the Future fan, like lover, right? Yes. Love this movie. The scenes where they were talking about like how that whole thing went down, I don't even know. Like, it just made me tired watching it. You know what I mean?
How
like,
is that legal?
Yeah, that part too. Like, how is that legal? How is that legal? Not even just like the, you know, them coming to him, meaning like, we want you for this script. And then the show people being like, I mean, you can do it if you can do both.
Right.
And like watching him like literally have drivers picking him up, sleeping in the car, going from one set to the other set. Like, it just makes both things way more impressive. The boy was like half asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for real though. He basically was a walking, sleeping person while he shot all these films, because he was doing both. Right. I feel like he had maybe what, like 3 hours of sleep back and forth. Like, the scenes were insane.
This is California. How did the 8-hour turnaround rule not apply to him?
But the dedication that he had to all of the projects that he worked on was so insane.
I had no idea he was a high school dropout. And knowing his backstory, he was like, do I stay in school and get beat up, or do I pursue my dreams? And with his dad just backing him up and saying, you sure you want to do this? And he was like, 1,000%. And a parent that goes to bat for their kid like that.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm down for you. 1,000%.
Right.
My favorite kind of parents. And like, I'm really glad that he did have that kind of like drive to go after his dreams, because like now, you know, hindsight's 2020. He only had so many years with his talent before, you know, he had to adjust his life to his situation, you know? So I'm really glad that he had done that.
He definitely had youth on his side too. He looks way younger than what he is. To this day, I still think.
To this day.
Yeah. So when you're 16 or 17 and passing as a 12-year-old, you run with that, sir.
Yeah.
You make that work for you. So there were some very heartbreaking moments in this movie, and very raw moments. One of the most heartbreaking moments for me to watch, but they did an amazing job highlighting it, I will say that, is how they highlighted how he was hiding his Parkinson's disease. They showed every moment where he knew how to work the camera to make it look like he was just constantly had to move. So he was holding a phone and just constantly moving the phone around or moving the base of the phone. And they cut to him sitting in a chair with a blanket over his lap. But you could, he made a point of highlighting his tricks to cover his Parkinson's. And it was building up to this moment where he could not hide anymore. And he's in his green room, his dressing room, where he's having a tremor. And all he can do is punch a wall and make it look like he's just having a bad day. And nobody wanted to bug him because, oh no, he's just letting out some aggression, guys. Don't bug him. And he's punching a wall. You feel the anxiety he's going through with how he can't hide this anymore. But he did a beautiful job explaining all of his emotions. And that's why I want it nominated. I just thought it was so good at telling the hard parts of the story.
One of my heartbreaking moments where I remember like watching the screen and being like, oh my God, I don't know what's about to happen right now. You know, where he's like, you know, he's sitting down, he's talking present day, and he like stops. He says he needs to take a break and he needs pills now. And they give him the pills, and the guy's like, are you okay? Like, do you need to stop? And he goes, I should have stopped 10 minutes ago. I needed pills 10 minutes ago. And I was like, oh my God, what is about to happen on the screen right now?
Right.
And the way he explains it to the interviewer is, they're like, well, you know, is it just you waiting? Like, how do you feel? Like, what's the process in your body? Like, what are you feeling? And he says, like, he's just waiting for a bus.
Yeah.
And that's what he tells people. He's like, I'm waiting for the bus. And like, everyone knows what that means. Like, he's just very calm, like waiting for the pills to kick in. And then like, when the interview continues, they're like, he's like, yeah, I'm on the bus now. And that's like, and that was like really hard to watch, but it was the reality of his situation.
All right. Now that we got through the hard part, what was the most inspiring moment for you throughout this whole documentary?
Outside of, you know, him as a person being as amazing and not letting it define him, I loved him becoming an actress, getting the role for the show, and how, like, no one, like, the producer, whoever it was, like, didn't want him. They were like, we don't want him. Like, we'll never have Michael J. Fox. And they're like, just test him out. Like, right. Just see what happens. And he's talking about how he delivered the one line and he got all these laughs. And one line after another, laugh after laugh. And he's like, I knew I had them because I think I'm like paraphrasing. But what he says is like, he found a way to connect with people in a way that all they could do was break out in laughter. Like they couldn't even help the fact that they didn't want him.
Right.
Because he was just that good and just that funny. They're like, oh, I really don't want you, but I really can't help but laugh right now. And I love that. Whoever, I think he was a producer, was like, you know, he's funny, but like, I don't see him being on a lunchbox because yeah. He's just not that heartthrob. The fact that he sent him the lunchbox with his name, with his face on it, it was like, love Michael J. Fox. I'm like, so that's the amount Chef's of petty kiss. I love in my life.
Yeah. Yes.
I love that so much. Just being like, you know what? You don't have to believe in me. I believe in me.
Yeah.
And that's enough.
I loved how he was so determined to tell his story before he got to the point where it was too late.
Yeah.
More than anything.
Yeah.
I love that he was able to tell his story back in the 90s before the press broke the news.
Same. I love that so much because now I feel like there's so much of an invasive, we got to break the story feel.
Yeah.
About everything that like you don't get to, like these people don't get to tell their story on their terms in the way that makes sense to them, in a way that is personal and important to them. And that's just, you know, kind of how things are now, which is really sad.
Right.
But the way that he was able to do it, I mean, I applaud him, his family, everyone around him who knew but like held it together and let him do this on his own terms.
And now it is time for the spotlight of the week. Tax Pros, an award-winning tax firm dedicated to providing their clients with a full range of advanced tax planning and tax resolution services. With 3 locations in Southern California, Tax Pros is there to meet you where you are, offering phone and video appointments. Learn more or book an appointment today at Tax Pros, taxprose.com. Do, 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 do. Disclaimer time. We here at the Fangirls Podcast are not affiliated with the following: Apple TV, Michael J. Fox, yeah, anyone or everyone involved with the making of the movie Still. We're just really big fans.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.